Now, let me mention this. The way you dress shows three things. Dressing shows, number one, your values. How you've dressed, whether a man or a girl, it shows what do you value in life. What do you value? What things are important to you? Now, do you know that even when you are marrying, it helps to marry a person with the same value system? Hello? If as a woman, you spend a lot of time in the mirror, trying to beautify yourself, to look a certain way, it means beauty is very important for you. If you see someone goes to get a Brazilian hair, I don't know how much it is. How much is Brazilian hair? Don't worry, you are protected. How much is Brazilian hair? How did you know it, brother? 2.5 and above? Is that true? Is that true? Come on, you hear these things from the story. Don't think if you say it, I'll look like I'm into those things. How much is Brazilian hair? It could be true. Sorry? 1,500 kwacha. Wow. Hey, that's a lot of money. 1,500 kwacha, that's Brazilian hair. I also understand they sell what is called human hair. Maybe Indian hair or something like that. Because an African woman, whoever deceived an African woman that a white man's hair looks beautiful. Whoever deceived you, bewitched you. Because 1.5 can be used on more important things. Now, when someone earns a salary, many times it's not even their salary. It's either their husband or some boyfriend, actually. But whoever it is, who is your income source, gives you a 1.5, you go and spend that on that piece of rubbish. It means you value it. You value looking like that. And some women will do that and they don't have enough food in the house. What you dress shows what you value. What are your values? So when you dress like that, it means you value beauty. You value attraction, physical attraction. It means those are things where your values are. Now, what you value, it would attract a person who values such things. Did you know that? Hello? If there are certain things I value in life, the kind of friends I will attract to myself are people who value those things. If beauty is so important to you, the person who marry you is a person who values beauty. Right? Now, we're not saying when a man is marrying, I mean, he doesn't appreciate your appearance and all that. But if that is his priority, you need to know you'll be a commodity in his house. When Adam woke up from the deep sleep and he saw Eve, he was attracted to her. But beauty wasn't the main thing. No. He saw something that came from him of the same spirit. He saw someone he could fellowship with and be in company with. That comes first. What are your values in life? What are your values? And that's why you pity young people of today. Their values are so misplaced. You look at the young girls, what kind of a man will they be attracted to when they come to the edge to get married? What do you think will attract them? Afunakam guys, kajakakutakavala toroshi, ukuyenda so ukiyankara tight. Soko sisikavala, tindeiri mstao, kavala tabeyo sompa. Na jacket, na necktie, kavala. Is that what attracts you? Akabwera uja wadoti doti achoka pansi pamoto katini mechanic. You know, you need to see some of these brothers who are in this field when they are at their workshop. They look all dirty with oil all over. Greased hands. That's the guy who will feed your family. Kaja kamene kavala yali tight. I don't know what they call them. Many times they follow them. There's nothing they're doing in life. Why is he dressed like a magazine character? Real men are not into that. When they dress as a decent person. Is that correct? You will find a man Africa go black. To see to wet look wet look to apangana my webs. Point down barber shop as standard 10 down. Thank God I don't have a girl. But if I had a girl, there is someone who needs me, who wants to marry me in my life, and you bring that? You bring that thing and you call it husband material? You only stay 1 year, 2 years in your marriage. Problems begin. World War III begins. Why? You married on looks. You are spending time looking in the magazine. You've planted wrong software in your head. That's what you begin to look for. As you are looking for marriage material, you are looking for the magazine character. And there you find a girl who is an exact magazine character. Foundation ni kanafaka. Brazilian hair ilipo exactly kama magazine. Kaone kangati Beyonce. Well, let her wash off all that garbage in the morning. You won't recognize her. But that's the real person. What you value, you become what you value in life. What you value begins to affect your character, begins to affect your behavior. Go to our kids when it's evening. You see young men taking a boat with a girl with a ring. I asked last time, where did they learn that? We didn't have that in our culture. We didn't have it. We didn't. Where did they get it? They took it from what I was showing you here. The report. Hollywood. That's what they watch. Ask our parents, who took a bow and say, will you marry me? Vatoka kuti, nivamma movie. Manja musu wavuto ya mvamma movie. Viku atinavo, visirangati vamma movie. You see that? Until you have a man and a woman, preacher says, tells them, I do. They say, I do. They move out. They go in their home now. It's not a real marriage. It's a Hollywood movie. I was listening to some woman on radio. Most of you know her. It's trending. Her story is trending. She divorced with her husband. Reason? Says, when I was in Caesarean when I was in labor. He didn't even bring me flowers. Mo Africa tinambali tikubweresana na maflower. Maflower, mwetana bwanje maula. That's a language. Kwao, kwazungu. Is that correct? Hello? Do you know in Africa we don't have the word I love you? Do you know in our language we don't have it? Do you know that? Any of you, tell me, let me ask you this. Who here can say your parents loved you? They loved you in case they are dead, or you can say they loved me as a child. Okay, thank you. Tell me a day when your parents told you, Manawanga nikukonda. Was there a day they said a thing like that? Hello? I have a mama there. She loved me, took care of me, paid for my school fees, supported me in whichever way she could as a mother. There is no single day she mentioned that statement at nikukonda. It's not in our language as Africa. Love is an expression in Africa. Right? When your parents come, they bring food. They say, okay. That's love in our culture. What your parents do for you, that is love. In Africa, we show love. It's not a statement. That's our culture, right? But hey, that is no longer there. There's a new form of love. It's coming from what we see happening in the West. We've also learned now, when you see people graduating University of Zambia, you see people coming in a vimakadoli, nama flowers, my roses. You know what? I've never received those things. I wonder what this would mean if someone brought me this. I've never grown up in that. It's good they do it in their culture. What I'm showing you, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. What I'm showing you is what we watch becomes part of our culture. We never used to have it one time. But today it's there. You see a very big woman cuddling a chikadoli. Okay, that's what we see. That's what we watch about Valentine and all that. Why? Now, when this man and woman, they marry, they come together. Uyu and the Tambaka movie. Uyu and the Tambaka movie. Sana nibwere sirekolo flower tambe. Why? That has become her value system because that is what she used to watch. So that has become her love language. What you value will attract a person with the same value system. But you know the problem with values that are picked from a movie? Those people you see acting in the movie, that's not their real life. Do you know there are men who've destroyed their lives with pornography? And when they get in marriage, they expect a woman to behave like that? When you go to the people who do those things, they're dragged to do that. They're doing it for money. And then someone goes in marriage, they expect the same movie they watched in the home. It's happening in different layers, in different forms. And then people have expectations which are not being fulfilled. Is that correct? Will that marriage last?
No.
Go to Hollywood and tell me how long marriages last. They last for 1 month? 2 months? I think there's one which lasted for 1 week. Yeah. That's how long marriages in Hollywood last. Why? Hollywood is master at creating an artificial thing and exciting people's emotions and shaping their behavior. Yet, it's not a real thing. Look at the hairstyles which our young girls are wearing, the dresses. It is patterned after these goddesses in America, the Beyoncés of this world. these names. That is what is trending. The other day I was looking for trousers with my wife. I have challenges to find trousers. Every shop you go in, it will be a trousers, all right, but it goes very narrow down. And you know, I don't like that. But it's very hard to find the proper one. Why? That is what is trending. Do you know where tight trousers are coming from? Do you know the design behind tight trousers? Men. You know, that is what is in style now. Men dress very tight things. Do you know where that is coming from? Homosexuality. Yeah, follow the design. It is to make the figure of a man also to start showing. That's the inspiration where it is coming from. Now, what you wear shows what you value in life. If you value decency, we'll see it in the way you dress. There are those who dress well when you come to church. When you are out there, you dress another way. Whom are you hiding from? Hiding from the pastor, the deacon. You should fear God, not man. Right? Look, don't stay in the middle road. Be 100% of what you value. If you want to be a decent person, be 100% decent. If you want to dress immorally, don't bind yourself by being in this church. Go out in the world and be a full version of what you desire. So that even when the time comes to go to hell, they can receive you properly and properly identify you. God says, I'll spill you out of my mouth because you are neither hot, you are neither cold. You are trying to walk the middle path. There's no such a thing. Choose one thing. Choose one place where to be. Because when you walk in the middle path, you are stressing yourself. Number two, what you dress shows who influences you, your influences. Who is influencing you? If you're a young boy, your father gives you money to go to the barber shop. You cut your hair, look, that's not just a style. There's someone who is influencing him. There is a spirit which is influencing him. Because every social behavior comes from one of the two influences. The influence of the kingdom or the influence from the kingdom of darkness. You see a young boy wears a chain. That is not just a style. There is an influence, something he has been looking at, and it has influenced him to be like that. What you dress shows what is influencing you. Ask yourself, why am I having a desire for this? Just watch the things you look at. If you see a child wants to be in a necktie, daddy, get me a jacket. You've seen how Jehovah's Witnesses dress when they're going to church. A little one in a necktie, you know. And they grow up with that. When he grows up to be a man, in his wardrobe, you find jackets and neckties. Why? How you dress shows influences upon your life. Number three, and very important, what you dress shows who owns you. Here it is. You are clothed by someone. No one clothes himself. Shall we say that word? You are clothed by someone. Every piece of garment on your body, you didn't make it yourself. Someone designed it. They had an idea. They had a thought. When you read Genesis 3:21, the Bible says, when Adam and Eve were dressed with fig leaves, what did God do? So this won't do. God took skins of animals and dressed them. That's the first time God dressed humanity. He dressed them. He dressed them with those skins. But what has happened today? You see, when God dressed Adam and Eve, what kind of a dressing was that? It was dripping with blood. Animals were killed. I wonder what was going through the mind of Adam when he saw God doing that. I don't believe God came in form of a light or lightning or anything like that. He may have come in form of a theophany, something they could see. When he came, what have you done, Adam? They saw the Lord. And after all this ordeal, they confessed and all that, God takes an animal, killed it. I believe they saw what was going on. They saw that poor animal bleeding. They had never seen the Lord in that action before. It wasn't a good day. How did he kill that animal? It was the first time Adam saw death taking place. That was the first visitation of seeing an animal being killed, slaughtered. Man saw blood coming out of it. It was not a nice sight. Because even today when you kill a chicken, I mean, it's not a nice sight, right? The animal was crying. And you know, he didn't just do that and then clothe them. It's a process for you to skin, to remove the entrails, to remove that skin. And man was looking at that, and it was a very disturbing sight. And I can see the Lord with blood all over him. Gives them these skins of animals to cover them. And there they were, walking, with blood dripping off them, clothed. Life is in the blood. That was the cloth they were given. They were covered in that skin. And that skin was a testimony that something has died for you to live. That blood, because remember, when they were naked, it was shame. Shame, sin. But the skin covered that. So that when another one looks, they don't see your shame. When Adam looked at Eve, when Eve looked at Adam, it was the first time they wore a thing like that. It was strange, you need to know that. But for the first time, they didn't see their nakedness. They saw something which covered their shame. What was that? Life covered their shame. Life which moved out of an animal and it was dripping off in that blood and it was the skin, something which was once alive, covered them. They were clothed. Who did that? God clothed us. God clothed humanity. Any decent man who clothes his wife. Many women have said, I dress like this because it's what my husband loves to see. That's a shame. A true man wants to see his wife properly dressed up. But there are cases where a man says, no, vameno vara sivone kabwino. No, but this is how my friends dress at the office. I mean, what is wrong with this? Husband, That's not wife material. She's for public consumption. If she's fighting and insisting to dress like that. Do you know that the person who clothes you owns you? There's a tradition we have. When you are marrying a woman, all the clothes she had, they remain at her parents' home. As a man, you buy her new clothes. Shows she belongs to you, right? You take care of her. You feed her. You buy her bread out of love. And if her values are right, she say, oh, there's a dress I love. I would want to get it. When you see the dress, it will be the one also you like because you have the same value system. She won't bring a miniskirt and say, you know, this can look good on me. That shows different value systems. But now, in Isaiah 4 verse 1, we see strange women. Let's quickly go there. Isaiah 4 verse 1. We are closing soon. Isaiah 4 verse 1. I want you to see Laodicea now. I've told you, what you dress shows your values. It shows what influences you. It shows who owns you. Are we there? May we all reach together. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread. Can we say that? We will eat our and wear our own. Only let us be called by thy name. Wow. That is strange. These women, they are so desperate. All of them, seven of them, they got one man. What are they saying? We eat our own bread. Don't worry about that. You know why they're saying like that? Because when you marry a woman, it's you to buy bread. Correct? If God supplies your needs and you are okay, let your woman stay at home and raise the children. But well, we're living in a time she may need to work here and there, understandably so. But still the same, you are the provider. If she helps you, that's just a plus. Correct? So, but these women, they say, don't worry about that. We'll buy our own bread. And wear our own apparel. Don't worry about what we shall be dressing. We'll buy our own clothes. We are only requesting one thing. We get married to you so that we can at least have your name. Our shame may go. This is not the church of God. You see, friends, when a man buys a cloth for the woman, he should do it with joy that she belongs to me and I am hers as well. But he's the head. He should do it joyfully. When he buys bread, that's a wonderful thing. He's the provider. That is why, to the girl again, you are in school, and the boy buys you a gift. A cloth or whatever it is. Never accept. Why? That's not a gift. It's an engagement. Did you hear what I said? A boy you are not married to? You're not in a relationship? He says, no, I mean, it's good to buy gifts, you know. I thought of buying you this. And it's a cloth, it's an ornament, it's anything. You need to know he's doing that not because the Bible says we should love one another and care for one another. No! He's trying to engage your soul. Especially a cloth. It can never be. One shouldn't buy you a cloth until really you are engaged and there are plans for marriage. Is that correct? Yeah. The only girl I bought a thing for, a cloth, a gift, whatever it is, Nora was the only person to receive such a thing in my life as a male. But this generation we have today, oh. Parents, you see a girl, she's wearing a cloth you never saw or you bought. Where did she get it? No, it's just a friend. Just a friend? How? It doesn't work like that. If you're a boy, you should never buy a thing for a girl. Because whatever you do, giving communicates a deeper thing than the thing you are buying. Both of you may not mention the thing you are doing to each other, but there is communication taking place. Is that correct, parents? Is that right? But the devil has a way to twist your mind. He says, no, we were taught about the giving, and you know, we need to appreciate each other. Not in that context. This is not the bride of Jesus you are seeing here. These are denominations. What do denominations do? They tell Jesus, we'll buy our own bread. We'll make our own clothing. We just want to have your name. Oh my, do we have many names today? We are the church of God. When God looks at it, he says, no, that's not my church. What do people look? They read in the Bible, oh, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. Oh, we are the Pentecostal church. Others, they say, we have the holiness of God. When God looks at it, does he approve of that? When he looks at it, he says, I'm not the one who clothed you with that. You come in the home, you are a woman, you have your own bread. God looks at us and says, no, that's not the bread of life. That thing you are eating is your own making. Munazi bekingira mweka. Mazipangira tumapunziso. And it becomes the creed of the church. The true church of God only feeds on the bread. The word of life. Correct? But what has happened to denominations today? You find there are women. A woman can be a pastor. A woman can be a bishop. You ask them. Like that time when I featured on the radio, they gave me two Pentecostal reverends. One was a woman reverend. I asked them, where did you get that thing? It's not in the word of God. 1 Timothy 2:14, the Bible says a woman cannot preach. 1 Corinthians 14:34, a woman cannot preach. But how have you put women on pulpits in your churches? Where? What kind of food are you eating? Are you know, you see, they just had a local problem when Paul was writing those things. But you see, what is wrong with a woman preaching? Well, they've introduced a new doctrine. It's all right for a woman to preach. But when I look into the bread of life, it doesn't say so. So that bread has been made from a different oven. What kind of oven? Theological college oven. That's where those bread are made. What is it doing? They want to eat their own bread, yet call themselves Christians by the name of Jesus. That's not its sense. A true church feeds on the bread, which is the word of God. Let us see and close
with Isaiah 61 verse 10. Let's see the clothing which God gives us. And it's done through our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 10. This is our clothing. This is our clothing. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me. Does it say I clothed myself? He hath what? Who has clothed? It's God himself. Amen? Through our husband, Jesus Christ. He hath clothed me. What kind of garment? With the garments of what?
Salvation.
He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Very beautiful. We are clothed by the Lord Jesus. What is clothing? Clothing shows your values. What does our clothing show? What value does it show? Our values are not in ourselves. Our value as a woman, as the wife of Jesus, is in Jesus. What he desires is what we want. A true wife does not have a separate value system from her husband. A true wife's value is what the man values. Right? The Lord Jesus, when he says, let's go this way, we say, Master, we follow with what you are leading us into. Not our will, but your will. Our value is the will of God. Who is our influence? Our influence is not what other women are doing. You know there are wives like that? She's married to the husband. But every now and then, my story with other women. You know, there are women like that. Every time ni kabungwe, waenda kabungwe. Eh, munamvera kuja. Kwa mene kuja nde kwa mino wapasa na nzelu, za chabe chabe. To say, no, ufani kwa vala so. No, ufani kwa so. Ukaziwa uzako na iwe so and so. A true woman, her influence is not a bunch of other women. The influence is the husband. That is why a woman should be a keeper at home. Not being a busybody. Today, you are at this home. My wife, Tandala. A woman, you must be a keeper of your home. When your husband goes for work, keep yourself busy at your house. You understand that? When the children go to school, you are trying to prepare. Before they come, you should take pleasure in your home. Does it mean visiting is bad? It's all right. Once in a while, yeah, move here and there. Not much of your time. You are moving from pillar to post. No. Those things can happen, eh? Among some people. And they can destroy homes. Your influence is your husband. He's the head of your home. He gives you guidance. And you are happy. You take pleasure in that. Did you hear that woman on radio who divorced the husband? He says, he was telling me to kneel when serving him food. He says, me, a Greek woman. I can't kneel. I only kneel to God. That's what she said. I only kneel to God. Wow. Now, other people listening to this, they could be listening to this from the U.S., from the West, and they're wondering, oh, in Africa, you kneel? Yeah, kulikugwada. But well, that's a culture here, right? I mean, for me, I don't feel, well, my wife has respected me when she knew what she likes doing that, but that's not where I get the value of respect. But she does it out of her respect, out of how she's been brought up and all that. But, you know, the way this woman was speaking on the radio, it showed arrogance.
it showed a power woman. He says, I can't kneel to a man. Why should I kneel to a man? I can only kneel to God. Well, this God tells us in this Bible that Sarah called her husband my Lord. I can tell you that statement sounds so abhorrent, so ridiculous in the present era of Laodicea. People wonder, well, how can that happen? Why? It's a new generation which is rising up. It's a new generation, new kinds of marriages, new kinds of homes, and they don't stay long. There's a young man who we've been trying to counsel in the family, you know. He feels he's fed up, you know, with a woman, and they just want to end the things. And I thought, I wish the way we were troubled to make pledges. You know, me, I always think about what I lost. How we moved up and down. I had to put fuel in my vehicle, you know, to support this fellow. The women ululated. We abandoned all our programs to go and support the wedding because two are getting married. They came in our homes, please, I need support, this and that. Who will stand in? Which elder will come? And the family had to go through the whole ordeal. But one day he wakes up. He doesn't take any consultation. He just says, well, I'm fed up with her. I want to get rid of her. You try to sit down with a young man. Why are you doing this? No. My decision is already made. Unfortunately, it's so cheap. I wish there was some section in the law somewhere to say, when you do that, refund all those who contributed and the bill is on your head. If it has to be a loan. Because it's really nonsense. You understand that? It's big nonsense. You bring all the people, they give a witness and a testimony. You are married. I do. I love you. Kutipanga vipo watonze. Later on, you just divorce and destroy it, and things have changed. Yes, I've decided. Well, you are believers, and I know such things can't happen. Amen. But that's the state of the world. People can marry and divorce like it's just a game. It shouldn't be like that. Shall we stand? Brethren, the character of a woman in Laodicea is exactly the character of the church of Laodicea. It's a dark era. It's a naked church. What we've talked about is exactly what has happened to the churches. When you look at the churches, as we are gathered this Sunday, you go to churches, you hear songs being sung. The songs have hallelujah and they have Jesus in them. It really looks like it's a clothing of the word of God. But when you look at it, when you hear what they believe and what they teach, it's about money. It's about, when you look at it, it's not clothing. They're not dressed. The word of God is not there. That is why a preacher can fornicate. He will still preach on the pulpit. Why? There is no clothing. We shouldn't be like that. We should be dressed with righteousness. But that's Laodicea. And God says, I'll spew it out of my mouth. It's a filthy church. Shall we bow our heads? Watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue. Hallelujah, watching you. Oh, watching you. Hallelujah. There's an all-seeing eye watching you, watching you. Worried about what people see about your life. Be more worried about what God sees. He sees everything in us. He sees every layer of hypocrisy. He sees every layer of dishonesty. When we stand before Him, let us not wear aprons of fig leaves. They do nothing. They dry up and they will expose our shame one day. But God gave us the most beautiful clothing on Calvary. When His beloved Son died and His blood was dripping, and today He says, you are covered under that precious blood. What does that mean? Even when one day Satan took you through a down path of sin and iniquity, there is a clothing available for you. It's a sea, it's a blood-stained clothing. Someone died for you to be clothed under that precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus. It came to cover our shame. We had no value in ourselves. We were the refuse of this world. We were worthy to die. But His precious blood coming upon us has lifted us up to be people of value. And He still has an open invitation. If you are naked, come, I have the clothing for you. You can be covered. Don't go after the nakedness of Laodicea. Jesus, our husband, has a clothing for us, and it's of white linen. When God looks at us, He knows who are clothed, He knows who is naked. May your desire be to be clothed with the blood of Jesus. When Brother John Mark last visited, he had a dream. He said, I saw ministers, many of them, they were naked, they were not dressed, and in the experience, he said, Lord, why? And the Lord revealed to him that they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when we have the Holy Spirit, it means we are clothed. Our shame is covered. You wonder, every day you find yourself in this, you do this and that, there's shame all over you. Why? You're not covered. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, He gives us the ability to rise above iniquity and sin, and we become clothed.